If you're a first-time guest here at Calvary Gospel Church, we just want to welcome you. We're so thankful that you're here today. If this is your first time, there is a kiosk in the foyer. We'd like you to stop by there. We'd like to get just a couple points of information from you. If you are visiting with us online, in just a moment we'll have a slide that has a link that you can follow, and that will also take you to a form that where we can get a couple of small bits of information with you and get connected and also give you your free gift. We just want to thank you for coming here to Calvary Gospel Church, and so awesome that you're here with us. Amen. We have four giving options at Calvary Gospel Church. This is how we give at our church. You can always give online on our website, ccmadison.org/giving. You can give in person if you want to place your offering in the plexiglass box that's mounted to the wall on your way into the building or into the sanctuary. You can give by mail anytime, 5301 Commercial Avenue. Just send that on in that way. Or you can give on the mobile app. It's our Church Center app. You just download the app on your iPhone or your Android phone and enter in your cell phone number and point to our church and get connected. Also, that's a way that you can stay in communication with us at any time. You can send messages. You can also get into some of our small groups and see our calendar. But many of you, as well as I, we use the mobile giving all the time, and that's how we give to Calvary Gospel Church. Just thanks so much for all those who give to keep Calvary Gospel Church going. Amen. We want to announce a couple of things. Tonight, everyone say tonight. Tonight is the men's ministry service grill out at 6 p.m. It's going to be at Marvin's house. I believe we're hearing from Marvin Renvick himself and a couple of the Neesums. Amen. And so it's going to be a great night. The way that works is if you come out, we just ask that you bring your own meat. So bring a big steak or whatever. We have these giant grills. We throw them on there. We'll have some sides and drinks for you, and we'll have a great time. It's at 6 o'clock. If you need to take a snapshot of that, you can do that with your phone, or you can see the message on the doors on your way back out. Amen. Next Saturday, June 15th, is going to be Ladies Fellowship. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. The location is going to be right here at Calvary Gospel Church. We just ask you to come join us for food, or join the ladies. I won't be there. Join for food, fellowship, volleyball, and a bonfire. And we ask you to bring your own snack or dessert to pass, and probably bring a lawn chair to sit around the fire. Next Sunday, June 16th, everyone say Father's Day. Father's Day. In our 11 a.m. service, we will be honoring our fathers, and we'll be having some drawings for some awesome steaks. So if you remember last year, if you were here, we gave out the giant bone-in ribeye tomahawk steaks. We're going to get a dozen of those, and we'll be a drawing, so we'll be giving out 12 of those steaks. There'll also be a donut extravaganza. I don't know what you call it, but we're going to have awesome thing of donuts out there in the front. So if you have a child here, make sure they go by and get you some donuts. There'll be some different things they can pick from at that time. And so we hope everyone has a happy Father's Day that might be traveling during that time. But if you're here, we're going to have a great time here. And so at this time, we want everyone to stand. We're just going to go to the Lord in prayer. If you were here at our corporate prayer on Friday night, you heard Pastor Roy give a pretty lengthy discourse of individuals who are struggling with a lot of sickness, cancer situations, all different types of things. We have a couple of children that are in the hospital. We got a lot going on at Calvary Gospel Church. And we just want to take all of these needs to the Lord in prayer. Not to mention those who have come in today. You might have showed up here to Calvary Gospel Church with a big need. If you have a need in your life that you need God to touch, we're going to have the faith right now to believe that God can do that. Would you just lift your hands to the Lord in faith, believing? And I'd ask you to pray out loud. Let's just pray out loud to Jesus right now and ask him to touch all these needs. Lord God, I ask you to touch these little children that are in the hospital with leukemia and other sicknesses. God, I ask you to touch these folks dealing with heart issues and health issues and cancer situations. God, I ask you to touch every single family who's having problems in their family and their marriages and with their children, God. We ask you to touch all of these people that are in the sanctuary here tonight, today, God, that are lifting their hands, believing, God, that you are hearing their prayer right now. God, we ask you to touch the situations, touch the needs, touch the bodies, Lord. Heal their body, God. Provide miracles, signs, wonders, God. Today, God, give them a word of hope, a word of peace, a word of knowledge, oh God, of the situation that they have in their life, God. Speak to it, Lord Jesus, and help them to understand that you're right there with them no matter what they're going through, Lord Jesus. We just give you all the honor and all the praise and all the glory, God. We thank you for what you're doing, Lord. We lift you up right now in Jesus' name. If you can remain standing if you'd like. We're going to enter into our worship phase of our service. Feel free to come down and worship around the altar. In just a few minutes, we'll have our senior pastor come.
I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
So my life you have been faithful. Like, sing that out this morning. And all my life you have been so, so good. If every breath that I am made, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire in darkest night. You are close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God.
Worship him for a moment. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This next song that we're going to sing is called Believe For It. And last night, right before I went to bed, I just started praying for the service. Derek asked me to help worship lead on this song. And so I started praying for, as I do before I sing, for God to have his way. And I felt really overcome with the spirit of intercession for all the needs that have been mentioned recently, for all the diagnoses and the sicknesses and the financial challenges that people are having and marriage challenges. And as I began to talk to the Lord and intercede on behalf of my brothers and my sisters and the families of people who are facing such devastating news, I felt the Lord prompt me. I felt very nervous. I called Pastor Roy today and said, I need to talk to you, and is this okay? I felt the Lord prompt me to share my testimony of healing. I got in a car accident in 2022, and many of you may not know, but I have really struggled with recovery from that. Two areas that I suffered greatly were in my left shoulder and my SI joint. And I did all the right things, and basically the doctors have said, you know, there's really not much more we can do. I walked around with constant pain in my shoulder. And I remember last year we went to family camp, and it was a great message, but, you know, I went up to the altar just to respond to the message. Nothing crazy, you know, I just was trying to respond to the preached word. I went to the altar, and I just said, Lord, you know, it was kind of one of those services of surrender, so I resurrender my life to you. I choose whatever you want for me, whether that path is hard or it's easy. And I felt in that moment, my husband was next to me, just the rush, the familiar presence of the Lord rush over me. Nobody touched me. Nobody laid their hands on me. Nobody said any special words to me. Nothing. And in that moment, I had a thought come into my mind. I'm healed. And so after that, I leaned over to my husband and I said, I think God just healed my shoulder. And we said, okay, let's test this out. I went out to the car and had full range of motion in my shoulder. And I am so grateful. Yes, let's give God the glory. He did a miracle. But as I was praying last night, the Lord brought that to my memory, and he spoke to me and he said, I healed you in the context of our relationship. I had felt that rush of God's presence come over me so many times, but in that familiar presence of God is where I had access to healing. It wasn't because of something crazy and supernatural and a boisterous, firing, thundering thing. It was getting into the familiar presence of the Lord. It reminds me of the scripture that says he wasn't in the fire, he wasn't in the wind, but where was he? He was in the still, small voice. And church, I feel so unequipped to share this with you, but so often we pray for a demonstration. God, we have so many people that are sick. We need a demonstration of your power. We need a demonstration. But I really felt in that moment that we don't need to seek demonstration. We need to seek connection. Peter and John in Acts 3, they went to the man at the gate, beautiful, and he was lame, and what did they say? They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. What did they have? They had just come from Pentecost. They had just come from the infilling of the Holy Ghost. They had the connection with the healer. They had the connection with the Holy Spirit. I've been telling my Sunday school class, the most important thing that you can do for God is invest in your relationship with him. But why is that? It's because it's from the overflow of our relationship that we will see signs and miracles and wonders happen in this church. So I am stepping out in faith. I made a really strong commitment this year to do something different in my relationship with God. And I'm not going to share all the details of that, but I made a strong commitment that my husband knows about to prayer and to the Word. And you know what? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, in the name of Jesus, I claim healing over this church. It doesn't have to be anything powerful or crazy or fancy. This can happen in the everyday connections that we make with the Lord. So as we sing this next song, I'm singing it from a place of declaration. I'm singing it from a place of experience that God heals in the very connection that we have with Him. We have access to that. And I just pray in these next few moments, if you need healing, if you need deliverance, if your marriage is struggling, if your finances are struggling, He's here. He's here right now. And just like at an altar when nobody laid hands on me, God can do the same for you. You don't need a prophet to come through town today. It can be from your connection to God that He provides healing for you. Do you believe that? They say this mountain can be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. But they haven't seen what you can do. 'Cause there is power in your name. So much power. Mustard seed of faith this morning. God, we believe, but help our unbelief this morning, Lord.
We know that hope is never lost, for there is still an end to break.
God, we believe.
God, we
there is power. as you said it, so I believe it. You said it, so it is done. Can you sing that out? You said it, so I believe it.
I believe
you said it, Lord.
You said it.
Church, such a sweet, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. If you're a guest of ours, it's such an honor to have you here visiting with us today. And if there's anything we can do or anything you need, just let us know. We'll do our best to help you in any way that we can. You can be seated this morning. And thank you, Sister Fiona and Brother Derek, our worship team. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for a great lesson, 10 o'clock Bible hour. I want to encourage all of us to attend, and just thank you so very much. We've started a series, and I started with an introduction last Sunday, and this is probably the longest introduction I've had to a series, but I just some things I want to cover. And we'll get into all of this as we go. It will be through the month of June, and we'll be finished by the end of this month. But we're talking about living the everyday principles of faith. And I think Sister Fiona kind of nailed it when she said a lot of times that we look for faith. We look at the big, the explosive, the powerful. I think God is looking at us and saying, I just want you to live this simply every day. Every day in our lives, you know as well as I know, we don't live explosive. Every day is not a 10. Every day may not even be a 5, depending on where you are in your life at this time. But life has its ups and downs. But I believe that faith has always been and always will be a core component or a core principle of a Christian's life. It is by faith that we accept and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul states in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace have you been saved through faith. So what Paul is telling us here is that it takes faith to even have salvation. If you're here today and you're looking for salvation, it takes faith. You have to have a degree of faith, and it's not doing something on your own. But it's a gift from God. The Bible says that to every man is given a measure of faith. And at times, faith seems very important to us. We spoke on our prayer meeting Friday night of a number of needs that we have within this congregation, our brothers and sisters that are struggling in health. And And faith right now is something that is very important. It's on the forefront of all of our minds and our thoughts. And this is especially true during these times of perhaps fear and confusion and loss of a job or loss of a loved one. But at other times, faith seems to have very little bearing on our day-to-day lives. Last Sunday, we used this example. We get in our cars and we turn the key, and by faith, our battery is going to be operating. Our starter is going to be operating. The solenoid that fires the starter, that gets juice from the battery, that when you turn your key, all of these things kick into a sequence of events right there within your own automobile. You have faith that you're tires are going to hold the air that you put in them. There's so many things that we have faith in. We have faith that the person opposite to us is going to stop when that light turns red. However, our perception of the necessity of faith in every aspect of our lives does not alter its foundational nature. Faith is something that is a foundational, pivotal principle that Christians need to have. Since faith is such an important part of our Christian life, we have to understand both what it is and what it is not. Now, you could go online and you can find various ministers and messages, and maybe over the years you've sat through seminars on faith and you've read books on faith, and there's many different views on faith, and also there's many different world views on faith. I believe that for everything God has for us, the enemy has a counterfeit for us. So yes, as God has a real faith that changes lives and changes hearts and heals and saves, the enemy also has a counterfeit version. However, the only view of faith that matters is God's view and how it is revealed to us in His Word. I believe God's Word is the source and the key to all faith. I believe that our belief and how much we believe. The first lesson that we covered, we talked about faith taking action and how fear cancels action. Caring what people think cancels action. Ever been in a room and have the bulk of the people in that room think one way and you're thinking another, and we crumble into the what the rest of the crowd is thinking. We had Pastor Peter did a Bible study last month, and he had some video footage that he showed us, and I began to think of my own personal life. If I was sitting in that room and everyone says that the third line is the shortest of the lines, and I knew that it was not the shortest of the line, would I say the third line or would I just say, I'm sorry, get out a measuring stick and measure that? I will only believe it's the shortest if you measure it and show me it's the shortest. Would that be my level of faith or would I just conform? I'd like to think I would be belligerent enough to say, I'm sorry, but I don't see it that way. But craving comfort over your calling cancels actions. This is a real big one. This is a big holdup for some of us. I've talked to some of you recently, and you've talked about your comfort level, how that, what were the conversations we were having with you at the time, and you were struggling with stepping out of that comfort level. Comfort kills faith. Comfort kills action. Pastor Peter spoke of this Wednesday evening, talking about faith producing. Faith has to have action. Faith produces doers. Faith has to work. It has to produce. It has to be visible. And faith turns straight to God and away from the world. We read in our key passage for our series, chapter 11, verse 1 of Hebrews. I'm going to read from the King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. you may listen to that today and say, what exactly does that mean? I'm going to read this from the Phillips version this morning, and it's going to put a little bit more explanation. It's going to give us, it says, now faith means putting our full confidence in the things we hope for. It means being certain of things we cannot see. It was this kind of faith that won their reputation for the saints of old. And it is, after all, only by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command. I'm going to pause right there. If you can't wrap your mind around in the beginning God, and it goes through the whole creation process, if you can't believe in the beginning God, it's going to be very difficult for you to believe that God can heal you or that God can step in and do the miraculous in your life, whatever that situation may be. Right here, it's telling us it is, after all, by faith that our minds accept as fact that the whole scheme of time and space was created by God's command. You realize it takes just as much faith to believe in the beginning God than it does believe in opening up a science textbook and reading about the Big Bang Theory. None of us were here for either one of them. We're only being told by what other people are telling us happened. Moses tells us what happened in the beginning. Scientists are trying to tell us what happened in the beginning by using spectrometers and all of this kind of sophisticated equipment that they send out across the galaxy. Nobody was here. Nobody saw it. Nobody actually heard it. But it's by faith. It is by faith that the world which we can see has come into being through principles which are invisible. So the question is today, what is faith and how does one get it? To activate our faith, we must believe God and His Word above all. That's the first level of activating our faith. Faith is the affirmative response to God's will and God's Word. Man possesses faith when he takes God at His Word. We don't need to see something to believe it. Faith is the acceptance of something simply because God has said it. That's what faith is. That's the definition of faith. It's very simple, a little bit blunt, straightforward, nothing fancy to that. So where does faith come from? When we read from Hebrews chapter 11, verse 2, or chapter 12, excuse me, verse 2. The writer is telling us to look away unto Jesus, the author and protector, perfecter, or finisher of our faith. So where does faith come from? It comes from God. And we have to surrender our lives to God. When we surrender our lives to God, we have to have faith. If you are saved today, you have faith. If you're not saved today, Scripture tells us to every man was given, man, woman, child, everyone was given a measure of faith. I don't know how much a measure of faith is. Jesus used the parable as a grain of mustard seed. So evidently, a measure of faith, when you look at old recipes and it's a little pinch of this and a dash of that, Jesus is not trying to take and say, well, it's you have to have 1 cubic meter of faith. He says, all you got to do is have as a faith as a grain of mustard seed. I have in my office 3 jars of mustard seeds, and I have taped here inside the cover of my Bible, I have a mustard seed taped. That's all the faith that is required. That's the measure of faith. So salvation takes faith. We have to have faith to believe not only that God, who is who He says He is, but that He raised Jesus from the dead, and in Him we have eternal life. Faith is not something that we can muster up in our own hearts and lives. We can't go on Amazon and we can't order more faith. We can't get a book and at the end of the book, you fill out a little card and you mail it in. And because you mail it in, they take and they send you a measure of faith. The Bible tells us that faith has a source, and that source of faith is not us. I think so many times we get ourselves in trouble that we try to encourage brothers and sisters, and this is a little bit of a precaution here because this can happen so quickly. I've been to services and camp meetings where people have got up and prophesied that God's going to heal you, brother. Where is that coming from? Is that coming from God? Or is that coming from us having such a strong desire to see someone touched or someone healed or a situation changed? Faith doesn't come from us. So faith, where does it come? Romans 10, 17, Paul states it, and it's very clear, very simple. It says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's how we get faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So let's say this morning here that you're wearing on your finger a gold ring. And that gold ring is just, it's just to you, it's just a ring made out of metal. And it's got a shiny yellow-looking color to it. Then someone comes by and explains to you that that gold ring you have on your finger is something of value. It's something that is exceedingly rare. It's hard to find. And in order for it to be able to be put on your finger, it has to go through a purification process. And this purification process is a painstaking process. You have to have the fire, and you have to have some sort of an instrument or tool to put the gold into. And gold is liquid. When it gets heated up, it melts. It's malleable. You can shape it. It has to be shaped. It's long lasting. Gold is something that can last for generations and generations. Gold doesn't rust. Gold doesn't tarnish. The metal itself, you can't make it artificially. They found ways now to make artificial diamonds, and it's taking the market all messing because you can just make them artificially, but you can't make gold artificially. And as you hear more and more about this gold ring, the value of that ring begins to increase in your mind. Understand, before you knew more about the ring, it was just a ring. It was just a gold ring that maybe grandma or grandpa gave to you. But now that you understand what gold is, you know the value of the ring. And this is a very similar analogy we can use with faith. As we read the word of God, and as we begin to understand just exactly who Jesus Christ is, exactly who God is, and what believing in him does for us, the value of that relationship grows. The better we know Jesus, the more valuable and the more precious he becomes to us in our lives. And the faith we have in him grows because he provides it through his word. And as we know him more and more, he relieves he gives to us more and more of himself. A few weeks ago, we spoke on reigniting our passion for Jesus. And we talked a little bit about the parable of the sower and the seed. And I want to take and go into this a little bit differently today. Maybe you've heard this parable preached all different kinds. You can look it up. There's all different ways it's been preached. But I want to take and put it to how it applies to our faith. So I want to put it in a little bit more of a personal tone today. So reading from Matthew 13, this is found in Matthew 13, 18 through 23. And it said, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone understands the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. I'm not reading from the King James. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, it only lasts a short time. When trouble and persecution comes because the word, they quickly fall away. And the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Now remember, our series, we're talking about a lifestyle of faith. And in this parable, Jesus often spoke about the kingdom of God using parables. We did a series last year where we talked about the meaning of parables. Jesus oftentimes used parables because what that was he was taking and putting in the language of their daily lives. He was using daily life examples. So when Jesus broke out into a parable, he was taking something that would apply to them every day of their life. And Jesus often spoke this way. Parables tell us how one thing is like another. So at the time of Christ, the Greek word parables or parables was used to refer to any comparison between two things. So we say it a lot. We'll say, man, it is cold outside. My grandpa used to say, son, it's colder than a well digger in Idaho. I don't have any. I never figured some of these things out, but that's a parable. He's comparing the cold to some poor guy in Idaho digging a well, and it must be cold in Idaho because Papa said it's colder than a well digger in Idaho. So therefore, one of Jesus' parables, every one of them, is descriptive comparison, put in the form of a brief story which points out how two entirely different things can be alike. This is why Jesus began many of his parables by saying the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is like unto. So here in Matthew 13, Jesus speaks of four different types of soil. And we're going to look at these types of soil today as four different types of soil which represents our levels of faith. Now, when we look at this, the first was the seed on the pathway, which was hardened by continue walking on by man and by beast. The next soil was a rocky soil. It was shallow, and it doesn't have a whole lot of depth to it. And then this soil hears the word of God, and it springs up very quickly, but neither understood nor learned the promises of God, and the evil one comes in and snatches away what was sown in their hearts. Then we have the soil where the trouble and persecution comes from the world and they fall away. The next soil was a little better, but kind of, but not really. This person received the seed of faith that fell among the thorns, and they heard and received the truth. They knew the truth, but the worries of this life begin to choke out the truth, and they allowed the worries of this world to get entangled with what they know, and their faith begins to choke, and their life no longer produces fruit. They become a plant whose purpose is to flourish and produce a beautiful crop, yet it sits there barren. This last soil that Jesus speaks about is rich in minerals. It's plowed, it's tilled, it's ready. And when the seeds, the word of God, is planted, they are tended to, they're taken care of. They're not left to fend for themselves. Instead, the gardener tends or cares for the new growth. But I want you to take note here. When you look into, and I do this often when I'm studying something, I will look into particular commentaries. Other men that are much wiser and smarter than I am write. Matthew Henry is one that I like to look at too. And in the Matthew Henry Concise Commentary, the Bible simply puts it like this: what distinguished the good ground from the rest was one simple word of faithfulness. Faithfulness. By this, true Christians are distinguished from hypocritical Christians. Christ does not say that this good ground has no stones in it. When you look at the good ground, it said it was fertile. I used an example a few weeks ago of the field behind our house where there's a lot of rocks in that field, but boy, it grows some good corn. So it doesn't look at our lives and say that, you know, your good ground, it doesn't have any stones in it. It doesn't have any thorns in it. None of this could hinder its fruitfulness. You see, it's the same thing with our faith. We can have good ground and we can still have thorns. We can still have stones. We can still have weeds that grow up. But you see, according to Romans 12:2, God gives varying measures of faith to his people. Paul says that we ought to think as to have sound judgment as God has allowed it to each a measure of faith. So if we take the seed of faith that was planted in our hearts and we do not tend to it, it will die. It will get choked out. It will allow other voices to speak into our lives louder than the truth. So God is speaking into our lives and God is telling us, I want to do this, I desire to do this, but the other voices are louder. And they begin to drown out that voice of faith. It begins to drown out so we may have good soil. But you see, God did not give us his word so that we could be bound in beautiful Bibles that sit on our nightstands. But he gave it for us to look at it and live it out in day-by-day principles which require an action on our part. He purposely gave it to us to feed us, not to look pretty on the bookshelf when company comes over. He gave it to us. We need to plow. We need to tend. We need to pluck. We need to produce a harvest. We need to refine and point our lives to him. When life struggles come, where do we turn to? We talked about this. Sister Jeanette on Friday, we were visiting with her and we got in this discussion about Google. I hate to say this, church, but we rely a lot more on Google than we do on God. And I say that looking into the mirror myself. What's wrong with me? Well, let's just look it up. What is Google? What are my symptoms? Let's see what Google has to tell us. God is saying, you know, would you just put Google down for a minute? Would you just open up my word? What does my word say? I'm not saying that it's wrong to look at any other sources. But you see, faith is always seeking. Faith is always seeking. Faith wants to grow. It doesn't just sit idly by, because faith was not designed to sit idly by. It was designed to spring up in our hearts. Yes, we may have some rocks in there, we may have some weeds in there, we may have some thorns in there, but it was designed to spring up. It means that while we tend to the soil, a rock may come into the path I've tilled, I've rototilled a lot of dirt. I've shoveled a lot of dirt in my life. I literally have shoveled railroad cars full of dirt. If you're a plumber and you know what I'm talking about, when you're down in a basement and you're there for 6, 7, 8 days and all you're doing is shoveling dirt. And you move rocks, and you move rocks, and I don't know what it is, Brother Ryan. You can you understand this. Wherever you have to put your pipe, there's always a rock. And you look at this, and you're like, "Why in the world does this rock have to be right here?" I've had to dig rocks because they were too big; I couldn't move them. I had to dig a deeper hole and just dig under the rock till the rock sank. Ever have to do that? Seriously? Oh, rocks come, weeds come, thorns come. But if you have faith, if you're living a life of faith and you're focused on God, things like weeds don't affect you. Thorns don't affect you. Rocks don't affect you. Doesn't faze you. You bend down, you pick up that rock, you toss it at the side. You pick up the weed, you pluck the weed, you toss it aside. It means that when you get thorns, that the enemy in this life is trying to entangle you. They're trying to grab you, but you have to take the word of God just like you would take a hoe or a machete, and you have to chop down the weeds. You have to beat that situation back. Why? Because we have a deep foundation rooted in a belief, rooted in a faith that God is who he says he is. Your garden is strong, your soil. It's not going to be perfect, but it's going to be well tended to. Your faith sees what life can throw at you, and you already know what God has planted in you, and you already know what you are tending to. You're seeking, we're learning, we're growing, and we're allowing his word, the tools of his garden, to shape and produce in us the kind of fruit that God wants to produce. Well, this doesn't mean that your faith won't be tested, that the devil won't try to knock us off our feet. What it does mean is that when something comes along that tries to trip us up, we're not detoured by it. We're not fazed by it. You see the snare, we step around it. So I want to end this introduction with this simple question we have to ask of ourselves. How is our soil? How is our soil? How is our faith? Is our faith, are our roots deeply rooted? Are we tending to the seed of faith that was planted in us? Listen, we have to take care of this relationship with God. No one is going to take care of it but you. You are responsible for your own measure of faith. You say, "Well, Pastor, I just don't have faith." And I know this is a very difficult topic for me to preach, because I've struggled with my own faith with past situations that we've had here. And I said, "Lord, I have to believe. I have to believe in your word. If I don't believe your word, then I need to stop preaching." But I believe it. I believe it. As the disciples said, when everybody left, they said, "Lord, we don't know where else to go. You're the only one that has truth. I don't know where else to go. Boy, I certainly don't want to put my faith in the government today. Don't want to put my faith in man." So we can't let our faith become the garden that we're lazy with at times. We need encouragement. You need encouragement, or you're not even sure where to start today. I was driving on the road, and I haven't listened to music in a long time driving, and it's something that I've kind of missed, kind of got away from. We can stand this morning and our musicians can come. Listen to an old song. Some of the kids that grew up in the 70s and 80s would know this. That would be like Dan Powell. Where's Brother Dan? There he is. Old Imperial song. Actually, I think it was a Gaither. I think actually the Gaithers wrote it. But it says, there are people who think they're not receiving anything from God at all. Oh, they are shaken from their believing. And when they don't see results, they quickly fall. But don't you waver. Keep on living in the way God wants you to. Don't get discouraged and keep on giving. And soon it will come back to you. It says, keep on casting your bread upon the water. Soon it's going to come back home on every wave. We know this. This is scripture. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Soon it's going to come back home on every wave. Keep on working, seeking the kingdom. Instead of working for your needs, just keep on sharing the love of Jesus. Because growing comes from planting seeds. This teaching about faith being a gift of God raises a lot of questions. I don't have the answers to all of them, but I know God does. We may not understand why. We may never understand why God heals in some cases and doesn't in others. I don't know. But you see, what I feel God is trying to tell us in all this is to take this teaching and put it into a practical biblical use, a daily biblical use, by the humbling of our pride and by the stimulation of our prayers. In other words, we need to pray every day, oh Lord, thank you. Thank you for my faith. How many times do we thank God for our faith? Lord, thank you for my faith. Lord, sustain my faith. What did Jesus, when Peter was about to go into the biggest trial of his life, where Satan had desired, Jesus said, to sift you as wheat. And God, Lord, Jesus looked at him and he didn't say, Peter, I'm praying that stubborn tenacity that you have in your personality, that you stand strong. No, he looked at Peter and he said, Peter, I pray that your faith doesn't fail you. What he's saying is, Peter, I'm praying that every word I have put into you over the last 3.5 years doesn't get choked off by weeds and stones and thorns. So when we look at, we say, Lord, strengthen my faith. God, I've struggled in understanding. I want you to deepen my understanding. God, don't let it fail. Make it the power of my life. So that in everything I do, everything I say, you get the glory. As the giver, to every man is given a measure of faith. Lord, my faith comes from you, God. Help me to utilize it. So as our worship team begins to, we have a lot of needs here today. I don't know, some of you, it's a struggle. I've talked with some of you. You may not feel like coming to the front, and I understand. just asking us today to say, Lord, I don't feel like doing this. I don't want to feel like making a spectacle of myself, but God, I want to step out in faith. God, I have nowhere else to turn, Lord. I don't know where else to go but to you, God. I want to invite you to come down to this altar, and we're going to pray that God would strengthen our faith and God would touch whatever your situation is. So as our worship team begins to sing, I want to open up this area up front to invite you down. If you need a healing this morning, maybe you need a financial miracle, maybe it's a marriage, a family issue, whatever it is that you need, maybe you just need to exercise more faith that God will use you in a greater way. I don't know. But it all starts with action. Action. God bless you today.
Give you my love.
I know a lot of folks have left. But when you look at this, think about your life using this simple parable, because they represent everyone who's ever heard the Word of God. We've all known those people that have heard the Word and they immediately rejected it. That's not for me. Second soil, they quickly accepted it. We've all seen people that, man, they just got it. But it wasn't long and they fell back into old patterns. third soil. It grew. We've seen people that have grown, but over a period of time, we've seen that pleasures, treasures of life stunt their fruitfulness. And all of us are here today. The fourth soil, we're here because, well, the fourth soil bore fruit. And all of us are here today because of one of these four soils. Before we sometimes get a little bit overconfident in ourselves, we have to understand that at any given time, we can revert to any one of these soils. Any given time, life can hit us and hit us hard, and next thing you know, we're just like, this isn't worth it. But you see, the Word of God instructs us on how to become the fourth soil. See, we have to move past the first soil. We must believe that God's Word contains instructions for life and godliness. And to move past the second soil, we have to get rid of the besetting sins that wither away and our spiritual strength. And to get past the third soil, we have to exchange physical and worldly pursuits for spiritual aspirations. And then only will we become the fertile soil, which is able to produce much fruit. I want to be fruitful. I don't want my soil to be clouded up with wants, desires of the world. I want my faith to be strong. We're going into this world is entering into a stage. I believe Jesus is coming so soon. And this world is literally crumbling around us. And I believe that God is looking at his church and he's saying, I pray, church, that your faith not fail thee. I don't have the answers for everything, but I know who does. God bless you. Have a very blessed week. And we will be back here Wednesday evening. Shake hands with a brother, sister, greet a guest. Thank you to our worship team today. Remember our men's service tonight at Marvin. Men's service, Marvin Renvick's at 6. Bring something to grill. God bless you.